Verse 6 in this section really is a continuation. It's a final thought in addition to what Paul was speaking about, what we learned about last week. And then we're going to see 7 through 10, which is kind of a summary of the entire book of Galatians. You know, many times in life, especially in today's day and time, we want to see immediate results for our actions. We are used to being able to go to the grocery store and buy food that is all ready for us to cook and eat. We are used to fast food, instant meals, instant communication, etc., etc. No longer do we have to put in a lot of effort. We don't have to grow our own food and thresh the wheat and all that stuff and milk the cows. We just go to the store, buy it, it's in our fridge, bam, easy. We don't send a letter in the mail and then have to wait a week or two to get a reply. We send an email or Facebook someone and we expect them to reply instantly. And if they don't reply to us in 5 minutes, we're like, well, what's taking them so long? We are a society that is used to instant results. And yet, when it comes to walking in the Spirit, we don't always get instant results. It often takes time to see the fruit of the Spirit begin to grow in our lives. It is not instant. It takes, you know, just like crops, they don't grow overnight. They take a lot of watering and tending before you even begin. I mean, it takes a couple weeks before the first shoots even start popping up out of the ground. And so also, it also takes time for the works of the flesh to bring corruption into our lives. It often seems as if people get away with living in the flesh because they don't see the results immediately. But just as the fruits of the Spirit, it takes time for those things to grow in our lives. Tonight, we will see that just as a farmer plants a field and sows what he reaps, we will also sow what we reap in our lives. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. Now, verse 6, as I said, is really a finishing thought from what we learned about last week about bearing one another's burdens and bearing our own burdens. Remember, it said at the beginning of chapter 6, it says to bear one another's burdens. And then in verse 5, it tells us that each of us is to bear our own burdens. And it was speaking of different kinds of burdens. And the burdens in verse 5 were the ones that each of us ought to be carrying, the things that God has told us to do that we ought to do for ourselves. You know, as my dad always says, God won't do for you what he's told you to do for him. And those are the burdens that each of us is called to carry. But now Paul says in verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now this verse took me a little bit to figure out what it was saying. Because the word communicate here in this verse has a much broader definition than the way in which we usually define the word. Normally when we speak of communication, we're speaking of a discussion of words that two people are having. They are having a conversation with each other. They are communicating with each other. Or I am up here communicating words to you. However, in this verse, the word communicate is a broader idea, and it's not just communicating words. It's talking about sharing with another person. We'll get into it. But look, it says, let him that is taught in the word. So first, that is the subject of the verse. Let him that is taught. The person who's being taught is the one that is being addressed. He is the person that is receiving, or she is the person that is receiving instruction from God, in receiving instruction in the word of God from another person. Next we see, communicate. So that is the thing that this person that is being taught needs to do. They need to communicate in all good things. We're going to look at what's in between. Unto him that teacheth is kind of stuck in there. But communicate in all good things is what he is to do. So though that is the action that the person who is being taught needs to do. He needs to communicate in all good things. Now the word communicate in this verse means to share with. So just as when I'm communicating with you, I am sharing with you knowledge, I'm sharing with you words and understanding, so this is also the idea of sharing with, but instead of talking about sharing knowledge as the person who's teaching is doing this, it says communicate unto him all good things. It's actually speaking of physical sustenance. This is speaking not just about the spiritual blessings, but the physical blessings, the food, the housing, the money. Paul here is telling the church at Galatia that they are to take care of the physical needs of their spiritual teachers. That is a responsibility of the church, to take care of the physical needs of those that teach them, the pastors and the elders, the ones who are imparting unto them the spiritual food. They are to provide for them the physical food. So that it's a two-way thing. One is providing one, and the other is providing one. So that it's not just a give, 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 or take, take, take. But both are giving and taking, and in fellowship with one another. And isn't that really what fellowship is all about in some ways? Yeah. And unto him that teacheth, this is the one that he is to be communicating with. The teacher, the one who is instructing the student in Scripture and in how to walk in the Spirit. And we see this idea throughout Scripture in many other passages. We see the where it's even in the Old Testament where it says not to, and Jesus applied this, where it says not to muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. And a laborer is worthy of his hire. And so this is a concept, Paul's saying this is a burden that we ought to be helping our pastors with. Now, that doesn't mean the pastor needs to be flying around in a jet that he owns for himself. That's taking it a little too far, isn't it? No, but it is talking about the church does have a responsibility to look after their pastors. Physical needs for the pastor is looking after the church's spiritual needs. So now we're going to kind of turn a little bit and look at the rest of the chapter. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So first we see Paul telling us, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. You know, have you ever seen someone be mocked and not realize it? You know, people, you know, especially in school, someone's mocking some kid, making fun of them, but the kid doesn't even realize that he's being mocked, and he kind of thinks he's being praised, and it's kind of sad, isn't it? You don't know whether you should tell him or not, because you don't want to make him sad, but you also hate to see him being mocked in such a way. But guess what? God is not mocked. God cannot be fooled by us. You know, Abraham Lincoln is credited with saying, you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time. But you know what? You can't fool God any of the time. And so people, we can be fooled by someone who mocks. We can be mocked. We can be fooled. God is not one that can be mocked. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that ye shall also reap. And this really is what you sow, you will reap. If you think about it, isn't that a good summary of the book of Galatians? Remember what we have learned so far as we've gone through the book of Galatians. We've seen that righteousness can only be obtained through Christ, through salvation, through grace and faith, not works. We've seen that the fruit of the Spirit is attained by walking in the Spirit and not toiling in the flesh. We've seen that the works of the flesh can never bring about righteousness, even if those works are an attempt to keep the law. Even the most perfect law keeper cannot earn their righteousness. And then we see, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. You know, there are two ways that you can sow to the flesh. Often when I hear this verse quoted, most people, in the context of the way they're using it, are talking about the second method of sowing to the flesh that we see in the book of Galatians, which is living a life of lascivious and sinful behavior, living in open sin, adultery, lasciviousness, that whole list of the works of the flesh that we saw in Galatians chapter 5. However, the majority of the book of Galatians is talking about a different type of sowing to the flesh. It's speaking of sowing to the flesh in the sense that these people were depending upon the works that they were doing in their flesh to attain their righteousness. They were saying you have to be circumcised to be a good Christian. To truly be righteous, you have to follow the Mosaic law. And so they were still attempting to gain their righteousness through the flesh. They were sowing to the flesh just the same as someone who goes out and lives a life of debauchery sows to the flesh. And both methods of sowing to the flesh result in the same seed, in the same crop, I should say, that of corruption. And corruption, have you ever gotten rotten fruit? That's fruit that has been corrupted. And what does it say in Romans 6? I think it's 6:23, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Or maybe, wait, that's in Isaiah, isn't it? But all our righteousness is as filthy rags. All the works that we do with our flesh to gain righteousness are corrupted and filthy before God. And the fruit of that labor is corrupted and worthless to God. It also reminds me of the fire that Paul talks of when he writes to the church in Corinth that our works will be tested by. And those works of the flesh will burn up. And only the things that were done in the Spirit will last. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap from the Spirit everlasting life. By walking in the Spirit, living in the understanding of where our righteousness comes from. As I have said previously, living righteously because we have been made righteous. We don't live righteously because we want to be righteous. We live righteously because we have been made righteous. That's walking in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life, and we will also reap the fruits of the Spirit, won't we? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And really, if we look at our lives, how can we know what we are sowing? Are we sowing to the flesh or are we sowing to the Spirit? Well, one way to know is to look at what fruit we are harvesting. Are we harvesting corruption or are we seeing everlasting life? And it's not just speaking of salvation in this sense. It's also speaking of more than that. You know, we as Christians can still be living in the flesh and sowing to the flesh, trying to be righteous according to the flesh. And our works will just yield corruption. We won't see the fruit of the Spirit in our life. But yet, if we see the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit blossoming in our life, that's the everlasting life, and we can know that we have been sowing in the Spirit. And that's a question that each of us has to wrestle with ourselves. And then Paul tells us, don't be weary in well-doing. Remember how I talked about how we expect everything instantly nowadays? It's not the way it works when you're reaping and sowing, is it? It takes time. How long does it take for a farmer to grow his crops? Well, he usually plants them in spring, and he doesn't harvest them until August. So somewhere between 4 and 6 months, depending upon the crop. And the fruits of the Spirit are the same. I'm not saying I can give a timetable, but they take time to mature and show up in our lives. It's not like we wake up one morning and boom, there they are. And just like most things that grow, they grow so slowly that a lot of times we don't even notice them. Until we stop one day and look at our lives and say, oh, wow. Start comparing a year ago. Oh, wow. Wow. Because you're taking tiny little steps. The fruit's growing ever so slowly. You know, if I go out and I plant raspberries in my garden, I don't expect green beans to grow, do I? If I went out there expecting green beans, you'd think I was crazy. And so when we go out and we sow to the flesh, how can we expect the fruits of the Spirit? How can we expect everlasting life? How can we expect the blessing of God? Because we're sowing to the flesh. We're depending upon our own self for righteousness. And then Paul tells us to do good to all men if we're given the opportunity. In the last verse, verse 10, it says, and as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So first he starts out by saying, as you have opportunity. And you know what? If we are walking in the Spirit, God is going to give us opportunity to do good to other men. If we aren't walking in the Spirit, he might not give us that opportunity because we're not ready for it. We should take these God-given opportunities and do good to those around us. What does it mean to do good to others? Well, number one, it's the opposite of doing evil, isn't it? If you are constantly looking for ways to undermine other people, then you are not doing them good. If you are bad-mouthing them behind their back, you are not doing them any good, even if what you are saying is true. If it's the truth, you should be speaking it to them, not to everyone else. We should be doing everything we can that will benefit the other people in our lives. It's the very definition of agape love. Loving others more than we love ourselves. Doing what is best for someone else. And that's not always what they want us to do, is it? This doesn't mean that we should always do everything that other people want us to do. You know, parents hopefully know that lesson, that you don't always give your kids what they want. You don't always do what they want you to do. Sometimes you do things because you love them and they don't like it. But, so we can't just accept someone's sin because we want to be nice, but we also have to be careful in the way we speak the truth. Doing good means that we should do what is best for others, even if they don't realize that's what's best for them. But, and guess what? We're not always going to receive that reward right away, are we? Remember? Planting and sowing and reaping, it takes a time to reap what we sow. And even though we do good in other people's lives, we may not get recognition. We may not get the thanks that we think we deserve. But if we're doing it for those thanks, then, well, we're sowing to the flesh, aren't we? But if we're doing it because that's what we know God wants us to do, that's sowing to the Spirit. And when we do good, when we bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and show others that fruit, when we show them goodness and love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Funny how the fruit of the Spirit are a really good method of showing good to others, isn't it? Ties in very well. And then he says, especially to Christians. So he says, do good to others when you're given the opportunity. And then he says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. While it is true that we should seek to do good to all men, it is especially true when we are dealing with our fellow believers, especially within our church. Even if we see a brother living in sin or going astray, our goal should be always to do good unto them. The truth given in love is always good for someone. Remember last week we looked at restore, if a brother be found in a fault, restore such an one in meekness. That's the idea. Doing good unto them. You know, our goal, the truth given in love is always good for someone. But both of those are necessary. The truth is necessary, but it is also necessary that the truth be given in love and not in meanness. Only through love is the truth often made palatable. You know, often the truth can be hard, can't it? Has there ever been a time in your life where someone's told you the truth and it really hurt? Did you need that? Did you need to hear that truth? Yeah. But let me ask you this. How the person told you that truth, does that make a big impact? If they do it in a loving manner, if someone tells you the truth in a loving manner, even if that truth hurts, it makes it a lot easier to receive than if they do so in a hateful manner, doesn't it? And if you give them the truth in love, the offense will be with the truth. And if they are offended, they've got to deal with the truth that has offended them. But if we give someone the truth with a hateful or spiteful spirit, they'll often never even notice the truth. And all they'll be dealing with is the offense that we caused by the way we presented it. They won't even get to the point where they have to wrestle with the truth that they need to wrestle with. So we need to do good unto others. And just a final question I have. If we can't even do good to each other within the body of Christ, then what hope do we have of doing good to those around us? It starts here. We do good to each other, and then it spreads out from that. Throughout the book of Galatians, we have learned that we need to be far more focused on walking in the Spirit than on gaining righteousness through our works. Our righteousness does not come about by adherence to a set of rules or laws or other works of the flesh, but comes by grace through faith in Christ. When we begin to adhere to a set of rules to make ourselves righteous, we are sowing to the flesh just as much as the man who is living a life of lascivious and degradation to God. When we sow to the flesh, whether through obvious sin or an attempt to gain righteousness, we will reap corruption. Our righteous works will be worthless and no good to us or anybody else. However, we as Christians should be walking in the Spirit and growing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. As we walk in the Spirit, living righteously because we are righteous, we will be sowing to the Spirit and we will reap life everlasting. When he wrote to the church at Corinth, Paul mentioned how our works will be tried by fire. All the works of the flesh, even those that are well-intentioned, will burn up and disappear. Only those works that are done in the Spirit will come through the fire as gold. Let us seek to walk in the Spirit so that we can reap the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, using this fruit to do good to those around us, especially our fellow believers. Let our church be known because we reap the fruit of the Spirit and not the works of the flesh.
Father in heaven, thank thee again for allowing us together tonight and pray and sing and to hear this message. Lord, thank you for Vaughn giving it. And pray, Lord, we take it to heart as we seek to serve thee, realizing that all the good that we're able to be involved in first came from thee. So we praise thy name. In Jesus' name, amen.